And along the way, you probably need to pull out weeds of pride and choose to plant seeds of grace in their place. So to us, a strong marriage really isn't built overnight. It's cultivated daily. The love we had at the start can really grow deeper when we nurture it intentionally.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I am Delia and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Marriage doesn't thrive by chance. And in today's busy world, it's easy for couples to slip into autopilot. With work, responsibilities, and constant demands, love can quietly run dry without us noticing. Experts say modern couples face pressures that didn't exist decades ago, turning what once felt simple into a constant, balancing act of communication and emotional connection. And without intentional effort, even close companions can start to feel distant. Today, we are joined by Chris and Clarinda, who have been married for 30 years, and they will be sharing with us about how they have kept their love strong while journeying life's seasons and challenges together. Welcome to the Connect 2 podcast, Chris and Clarinda.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, and we're so glad that you're here with us. Let's start us off by introducing yourself to our listeners for us to get to know you better.
Sure. Both Clarinda and I, we are marriage mentors and have been actively involved in the family life ministry in our church. And I just retired from the corporate job recently.
As for me, after working for 8 years, I became a homemaker for 16 years. After that, I transitioned into corporate training, a role I've been in for the past 7 years.
Wow. How many children do you have?
We have 2 lovely grown-up children. One is 25 and the other is 27, who just got married earlier this year.
Congratulations, that's a new season for both of you. Mm. You have shared with us about how you're married for 30 years, you raise your children who are now young adults. Many times it's difficult for young couples to think into the future such as this, right? So how did you and your spouse build a strong foundation in the early years of your marriage?
For us, what really made a difference in the early years was having shared values, especially around faith and family. Our faith gave us a common anchor. It meant that when we disagreed, we weren't just arguing from my truth or his truth or whatever the culture happened to say at the time. We had a shared reference point that both of us were willing to come back to, and that helped us stay grounded and aligned. So the importance of the family was another shared value for us, which helped build that strong foundation. We made the effort to show up for family gatherings and spend time with our extended families. That helped us build a sense of belonging as a newly married couple and reminded us that we didn't come into marriage as blank slates. Understanding each other's family backgrounds was actually really important for us. I need to know where Chris comes from, how he was raised, what shaped him. And then I start to understand why he thinks or reacts the way he does. And that naturally builds empathy instead of judgment. So we also took the responsibility to honor, refine, or intentionally change certain values from our own family and create new ones in our marriage. So instead of consciously or unconsciously repeating patterns from our family of origin, we chose to build new ones. So how we build a strong foundation in the early years? It will be faith, which kept us grounded, and family, which kept us rooted.
Chris, I'm just curious, right? Even as I hear Clarinda share, it does sound like there was a lot of thought put into where you came from and the family that now you're going to build together in your early years. Curious to know, were there any moments when these anchor points felt like they were being tested, or even where you actually need to reevaluate what would help you through making decisions together?
Yeah, certainly there are some challenges. And in the earlier years, you know, our marriage was actually quite plain sailing. The real testing of our foundation came when we started having to discipline the children. That's when our differences became more apparent. I tend to be more firm in my approach, while Clarinda, naturally more gentle and lenient. She felt that because we were raising girls, discipline should be handled with a softer touch. I didn't disagree with that. We had quite a few conversations about this, and I took time to explain why I felt certain boundaries and methods were still needed. Even though she didn't fully agree with my approach, she chose to understand where I was coming from. So that willingness to listen and respect each other's perspectives and stay united as parents really helped us navigate that season together without letting it divide us.
I'm curious to hear, Clarinda, your thoughts as well. When I hear Chris share his views, you were listening intently. What helped the both of you land and decide a collective response together?
It would really be, again, back to the shared values that I mentioned earlier, the faith and what is the truth behind it. What is the role of a wife and what is the role of a husband? And that would be the reference point. And because with roles came responsibilities, and it's actually clearly defined also in our faith. And so it helped that we had that shared value. And so it was easier to make decisions and also to then go with certain decisions that we have to make.
I can relate to that very much, right? Because I'm raising three young children myself. And there are times where my husband and I also do have different approaches. I think fundamentally we do have shared values and what we know is important to hold in terms of imparting to our children. But maybe the approach might differ and the way that we would try and couch it to our children or share it with them might also differ, right? Because our own experiences or personality. Yeah, and I do see that coming out quite a bit. Sometimes I learn to also give my husband a chance to grow in his role as a dad. Like, instead of always trying to jump in to do what I think I would prefer to be done, but actually to see that so long as our intent is still aligned, I would like to let him also give it a shot. Because if I keep jumping in, I'm also not giving my husband a chance to be an involved father. And I'm learning through each time, you know.
Most certainly. And then sometimes when I think that, when I thought that my method is better, and then it's like, okay, you know, I just let him grow, so I thought. But then certain times I thought, hey, that's actually quite good. You know, it's really from the perspective of being humble and that, hey, I may be wrong. He may be right. Let's see.
I totally agree because I've also had those moments of realization. It humbles me very much to also learn that we all learn by trial and error. Sometimes we're all first-time parents parenting our children at different life stages. Clarinda, just now you mentioned about how through life seasons, both of you collectively made decisions together for you, Clarinda, to stay at home with the children. And then subsequently, you went back to work. Tell us more about how these major transitions, not just in your personal life, but for the entire family, worked out. And what was Chris's support for you during that season?
So when the girls were about one and the other 3 years old, Chris mooted the idea of me staying home. So he wasn't insistent at all, but wanted my views as he shared his. So at that point, we had a lot of support then, a helper and both sides of the in-laws helping us. So I felt I was managing work and home very well and didn't see the need to quit my job. My initial response was no, but I didn't want to sound dismissive. So I told him, not now, but I'll pray about it. And after a course of about a year, so I took one whole year, something shifted. From a mind that was pretty made up at the start, I was led to various convictions regarding the matter. So about a year later, I told Chris, I was ready to be a stay-home mom. I saw his support coming from two timelines. First, when he raised the possibility of me staying home. I appreciated that he was never insistent, but gave me a lot of space and time to grow comfortable with the idea. And that helped make the transition very smooth because I had conviction and clarity around the idea of success, which for me is the ability to live life on my own terms, guided by values and principles close to my heart. So right from the start, I recognized that I've chosen a different path and I had no basis of comparison when I see my friends moving along the corporate ladder and having career opportunities I might have loved if I had stayed on. So once I made the decision, there was no turning back and I became a contented stay-home mom for the next 16 years charting my own path. So the second timeline was after I actually became a stay-home mom. So we worked out a family mission statement on how we wanted to intentionally build our family. That gave my new role a lot of purpose. So we are convinced that when we take care of the family, it will live beyond us because we are shaping lives. The values we practice reach beyond our family. They are carried by our children into other homes, other relationships, their workplaces, and possibly other future generations. And you got to know my daughter, Natalie, who came to the office, and it's like the values that she carried from young is carried to wherever she goes, to the communities that she is in now even.
Yeah, I can attest to that. You know, speaking to Natalie as a young lady, we tell her she's very grounded. Yeah, and it's a joy to see someone who is not just defined by what most people would think to be success, right? Mm. But she's very confident in knowing that her identity is seen through the relationships that she forges and the influence she can have on others. Mm. So kudos to you, both of you, for choosing to raise lives, because that has really a ripple effect beyond what we can see in this present time. And tell us more also then, subsequently, what made you decide to return to the workforce, and what does that look like for both of you charting through this new season?
The early years of marriage are filled with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. What happens after saying, I do? At the Connect to Just Married workshop, you will gain practical tools to work through differences and conflicts and learn ways to keep the romance alive. If you have been married for 5 years or less, this workshop is for you. Get more information at www.family.org.sg/C2JustMarried.
So I had another transition that was about just 7 years ago. Our older daughter, which is Natalie, had moved into the university hostel, and the younger one was in JC, and her days were so packed. She was the first to leave the home in the morning and the last to come home. And I remembered thinking, you know, I was at home one day and I thought, I'm supposed to be a stay-home mom, but my subjects aren't home all the time. I've surely outlived my days as a stay-home mom. So I did not bother to send out any job applications, as I did not know how to account for the 16-year gap in my CV. No one would be interested in how much I had invested in my own personal growth. For sure, the 16 years I had grown so much as an individual, but at the workplace, no one's going to be so interested. So instead, I met up a few people in the charity space, hoping I can do some volunteer work that involved a more pivotal role, a role that I can have some personal growth in. But a few days later, Chris came home and said, someone offered you a job, a paid professional job. It turned out that he met an old friend for lunch, and the friend casually asked about me. And when that friend realized that I was looking for something to do, the friend told Chris, I'd love to have her. So when he came, I was shocked and surprised. And I was actually quite hesitant because it seemed such big shoes to fill. But Chris was so full on with his support. He thoroughly believed in me and egged me on to take it up. So he was like more excited than I was. And this is also what I want to say to all stay-home moms. Stay committed to your own growth. Because one day when an opportunity presents itself, you are ready for it.
Oh, that's so encouraging because many times for moms who choose to devote their time to raising their family, it might feel as if it's a very hidden role. And it doesn't mean that going back to the workplace is an opportunity to so-called be seen or to be validated. But I think it's the other aspect about also discovering growth takes its different form in different seasons. Yes. And what I'm hearing you share, Clarinda, is that sense of security that has seen you through. And I'm really curious to hear from Chris now. You know, I hear Clarinda, I can see her beaming as she shares her journey. Chris, tell us more, you know, from a husband's point of view, what does it look like to nourish your wife such that she discovers her sense of security and confidence through life seasons?
Maybe we can go back to the part where, you know, she became a full-time homemaker. Now I was the one who first suggested for her to become one. Well, I wanted her to be a homemaker then. You know, I mean that I had cold feet when she actually said yes.
That was a year later.
Yeah. Okay. The timing wasn't that ideal, right? Actually, then it was 2004, just after SARS, and the job market was pretty uncertain. So after hearing Clarinda share her reasons, I understood her heart for the children. She wanted to do her very best and also give full attention to raising our two girls. I in turn shared openly about our finances and also contingency plans in case, you know, things didn't work out. Rather than saying no, we chose to move forward in faith without being overly anxious. So after 8 years for her in the workforce, Clarinda left her job and became a happier mom, free from the guilt of not spending enough time with the children. And honestly, then, sometimes I wish I could be staying at home as well. You know, the girls were just so cute. Our home became a little bit of emptiness and she wanted to go back to work. I would say that she was a bit hesitant, not sure what kind of job to find. But I always know that Clarinda has a lot of gift and talents, ability to able to contribute in any company that she works for. So when the opportunity came about, you know, I was very confident. In fact, I think I believed her more than she believed herself in terms of the ability to be able to take up that job. So I'm glad that she did. And I think she found it very fulfilling and still doing that training till today.
You know, what I'm hearing is you're each other's cheerleader.
Certainly.
Because it's really about celebrating each other's strengths. And Chris, it's very heartening to hear from your point of view, because many times people struggle when they think that when a spouse feels like they are so-called alone in making the big decisions. But when the both of you made this decision collectively and knowing really what led you to make these decisions together, you're cheering each other on. Because when Clarinda decided to be at home with the children and you're back in the workforce, there are challenges that you face at work that maybe sometimes Clarinda may not fully understand. But I'm hearing that you were open to share, you know, whether it's a financial struggle, a financial situation, or even the market conditions. These are things you'll talk about openly. And that makes a difference because we are not just removed or compartmentalized, but the family is in whole. And you're talking to each other deeper in terms of your fears, concerns, but also hopes for the possible future. So in each podcast, we address a frequently asked question that couples have about marriage. And today's question comes from a wife. She asks, "We got married early this year and it has been an up and down journey. The honeymoon period was sweet, but as we settled down, reality hit. We started noticing each other's quirks and some small agreements somehow snowballed into big outbursts. How do we keep our marriage strong and not allow the small annoying habits to turn into ugly fights?"
Okay, so this is actually very common, especially in the early stages of marriage. We hear that a lot amongst our friends also. So small disagreements usually don't blow up because of the issue itself. They snowball because the conversation shifts from being about the topic to being about each other. So it starts with topical communication, the topic at hand, which is the habit, the comment, or whatever the small disagreement. But at the same time, there's another conversation happening underneath. That's the relational communication, tone of voice, body language, and the messages we are implicitly sending to each other. So often it's that unspoken layer that triggers big emotional reactions. That is why learning the skills of communication and conflict resolution early in marriage is so important. Two imperfect people coming together in a union spells double trouble. It is only natural that there be conflicts. So the key is learning how to handle conflicts in a way that is connecting and constructive rather than draining and destructive. And honestly, we wish we had learned this earlier. It would have saved us a lot of pain. So, but however, do not be afraid of conflicts because they actually teach you something about each other's values, sensitivities, and needs. It reveals what really matters to your spouse. And when handled well, conflicts can become an opportunity for growth and deeper connection. And so one helpful way for us to think about marriage is as a garden. So every word, action, and habit is a seed. When we sow kindness and patience, we reap love and trust. But when we sow neglect or harshness, we get distance and resentment. And along the way, you'll probably need to pull out weeds of pride and choose to plant seeds of grace in their place. So to us, a strong marriage really isn't built overnight. It's cultivated daily. The love we had at the start can really grow deeper when we nurture it intentionally.
So what are some practical ways to actually address each other's like idiosyncrasies or things that tick us off, like the quirks that this lady mentioned, right? Without it seem to be nitpicking or offensive to the other spouse.
You know, like most couples, Karen and I have our own quirks, get on each other's nerves. After making several attempts to resolve certain issues, we learn the hard way, normally that not every small matter can be resolved, and that peace and relationship itself matter most. At times, we are able to work things through. At other times, we come to accept that some things simply will not change. In those situations, the one who is usually most affected and irritated will have to adjust their expectation rather than trying to change the other person. So this approach has helped us preserve peace and protect what matters most, which is our relationship.
We actually find this quite useful. You know, whoever is the one who is most irritated by that quirk will then have to adjust.
What does adjusting look like?
For example, if you're not happy with if the cooks is because I place the plates in a way that is different from the way he does it, then if it affects him a lot more than it affects me, he will do it the way he wants. Mm. And I'll do it my way I want, but he'll rearrange it to what he finds satisfactory.
Basically, if the other party perhaps the time on that, you know, maybe at end up not really doing what you want. I mean, if there's a need to, if it still really bother you, you kind of like, maybe, yeah, you know, maybe I'll just do it then.
Wow, that's so counterintuitive, right? Because we often expect our spouse to change for us, right? Mm. But you are right to say that the only person we can change is ourselves, because we also need to realise what is triggering that quote love, in all the triggering that sense of discomfort within us.
Right.
I think for myself, I was also raised in an environment where everything needs to be neat and orderly.
Mm.
And then when I see things that are misplaced or a bit out of order, it gets me into a very uncomfortable feeling. Yeah, and that makes me easily angsty too. Yeah. So then I realized that, well, yes, I do need to express how this is affecting me, but I also need to be aware that actually what's underlying my own discomfort was also because I was brought up a certain way. And if so long as this doesn't pose any kind of danger or risk to anyone, actually it's really just a matter of preference.
And the beautiful thing is that when I see him doing it, that it moves me to want to do better as well. You know, so then the quote becomes no quote.
Wow, that's also very insightful, because I think you're right. When we see each other making an effort for one another, that actually gives us that room to say, yeah, you know, I also want to pull my weight to build this relationship and to help my spouse also enjoy a home that is comfortable for him or her. Thank you for your insights, and it really brings a new perspective to what nourishing our spouse and our marriage could look like in our marriage. Before you go, do you have any other last thoughts to share with our listeners?
For me, it will be when we nourish our spouse, we are actually nourishing ourselves. Because when two become one in a union, what happens to one will impact the other. So care for one another well through the different seasons in life, and you will enjoy your marriage in every season.
For me, I would say that there will always be unexpected twists and turns that catch you off guard. That's very much a part and parcel of life and marriage. Well, you can't, you know, prepare for everything, but you can prepare yourself. So what you can do is to actually intentionally be willing to learn to be, a better spouse or a parent. Today, there are so many helpful marriage and parenting resources that you can tap into. So nourishing your relationship also means staying emotionally connected. When you are connected, you are in a much position to face challenges or challenging times together. So at the end of the day, emotional connection is the soil in which good marriage grows.
Thank you. In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do with one another. And if you're listening with this podcast with your spouse, here's your challenge for this week. Set aside 15 minutes this week to do a season's check-in with your spouse. Step one, you can share what season you feel like you're in right now. For example, it could be the spring of new beginnings or summer of busyness. Step two, ask each other, what's nourishing you most in this season? Or what's one thing I can do to support you better? We really hope you found today's episode helpful and encouraging. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. And thank you for listening. Remember, with some intentional effort, you can cultivate a strong marriage that lasts through the different seasons of life.